testimony. He was loyal to the organization he was in for so many years. And then when he realized that God was the one that to be loyal to, he turned to the Lord and God saved him. And he's been loyal in all these years. For I think 31, 32 years, he's been loyal, not just to the Lord, but to the Victory Outreach family, to our pastor, to Pastor Sonny, and to the elders. And I want you to give a warm welcome tonight, a real grand regional welcome tonight for Evangelist Art Blockos. And maybe his wife can come as well. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Come on, give God glory and praise in His house tonight. Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. Amen. Come on. I was going to say Burke, but it's the whole region. Amen. So give Him praise and glory. Continue lifting up His name. Continue exalting that great and mighty name. That wonderful name. That name above all names. That brilliant name. How we love to boast and brag and just declare the glory of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Amen. You may be seated. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Rio Grande, let me take you there. But it's been a great, great time, and I thank God for this church, and God has been so good. And thank you, Pastor Dan, and your beautiful wife. What a blessing. What a blessing, Barbara. And all the cast, the crew, they're just crazy about you guys. They want to come back, you know. And just came back from New Zealand, Australia. I was doing really good on my diet. Amen. Until I came here. Praise the Lord. Blew it all. Amen. Got to go start again. Get back on the wagon. But had a great, great time. But above all, the Spirit of God is here. The anointing of God is here. And I thank God for this family here. I've been watching Pastor for years, as just watching him, and he has been a mentor to me and an example and as a man of God. And I really, thank God to be here. Amen. Also, too, to be in the privilege to have a platform and have a voice to go around the world and to be just part, be an element of something that God released 50 years ago on the earth, known as Victory Outrageous. Amen. I'll tell you why I said outrageous in a few moments. Amen. But also, too, my wife is here, and I know she has to leave pretty soon, catch the plane. But I want you to welcome the lovely, the talented, the beautiful, she hates that, Anna Blockos.
Good evening, and God bless you. I want to thank God for my salvation, because if it wasn't for Him, I wouldn't be here. I was a young girl, just messed up and lost. I had no hope, no dignity. But God, I thank God that He sent this beautiful, beautiful ministry, Victory Outreach, into my neighborhood. Amen. And I gave my life to the Lord, and it's never been the same. And I'm just so grateful. I don't deserve the goodness of God, but He chose me. I chose a little gang girl, not the real Victory Outreach gang, but another gang girl caught up in the mix. Thank you. And I just thank God for His faithfulness, and I thank God. I could never express the gratitude that I have for Pastor Sonny and Sister Julie and this whole wide world movement of God that God has anointed. And we're family. It's more than just a movement, but we're a family. And you can go anywhere in the world. I say that we're bigger than AAA. Because you can go into any city and we're there. You get a flat tire, any freeway, just call. Put it on Facebook. But I thank God, and I just want to honor and thank your pastors for having us. Pastor Dan and Sister Barbara, they're amazing, amazing. And it's been the whole church, it's been an honor coming here and serving and helping you win your city. Amen. And our cast, one of them, she had met five Muslim people, And they accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And she, this is what she said. She goes, you know what? Since we've been here, she goes, reaching people has been so easy. They're just so open. And I know that's because of you out there in the streets. Everybody knew of Victory Outreach. Some cities we go to, they're like, who? But not here in Albuquerque, all right? I got to say that. Amen. You're doing your job. Pastor Steady and Sister Julie would be mighty proud. And I have an awesome husband. Who he is behind this pulpit is and who he is all the time. He's always a soul winner. He's always, you know, looking for a soul. He's always take time to minister to somebody. He always has guys and girls at our house and all hours they call, and he doesn't care. He loves people, and I love that. He's so grateful. He's a grateful man. And before I forget, I bring greetings from our pastors, Pastor Sunny and Sister Kim Arganzoni. Amen. We love you. We're praying for you, Mama Church. And I shared this one in Española this morning, that we were at another ministry, and the pastor said, he said this, and I heard it with my own ears, and I just was like so shocked, and I began to like, oh. He said, hey, Art, my son is a correctional officer in Calipat, one of the prisons down south in California. And he said, oh, really, Art? Really? Tell him to call me. I'll go preach to the homies. And then he said, oh, Art, he mentioned that he knew you and if they could bring him in. And he says, what? And he put him on a 30 days intense investigation, and he almost lost his job. And he said this. He said, if you know Art Blajos, you must have ties to organized crime. And then he continued, and he said, because men like Art, they don't change. But I thank God that we're a servant God who's able to change the worst of the worst. So don't you ever give up on your loved ones, your family, those that are lost and bound. You pray for them, you bring them, because God will do the rest. God bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Men like Art Blajos don't change. It's a lie. Amen. I stand here in contrast to that, in evidence against that. Amen. And but that's what the world says. Amen. But I'm here to declare tonight that the world, the experts, the professionals, they do not have the final words. Amen. We know who has the final word. Hallelujah. The Word himself. Amen. As Anna mentioned this morning, we were able to be there, and it was our privilege to be with Pastor Raul and his wife Alejandra and ministering there. And God moved in a special way. I believe here tonight, God is going to move in a very, very special way. So please, if you have your Bible, turn to Luke 23. Luke 23, I want to talk about a friend of mine. By the time I finish, he'll be your friend too. Amen. Luke 23. But also too, keep on saying Burke, but Rio Grande, amen. I want to say that I'm blessed, and it's beautiful to see everybody saved here again this morning. Amen. I noticed that the drummer and all these people, they were in the cast, but to see them born again so quick overnight, amen. They were gangsters and thugs and killers in the men's home too. Wow. We serve a God of miracles. Amen. Sign overnight. Amen. Transformed for the glory of God. Amen. But that's what God does do. You know, but not overnight, but he does that, and he changes lives and transforms. Luke 23. I want to do something here. I want to make many of you feel comfortable and at home. All rise. Don't look at me that way. Some other church have been going, oh, my God, what is he talking about? Not here. Not in Victory Outreach, amen. And you're not standing for Judge Judy either. You're standing for the righteous judge of the whole earth. Amen. We had to stand for him. Amen. I had to stand in chains and shackles and all right. And I hated when they would yank me by my chains. And yeah, all right. You know, but now I could stand. And now I could put my hand on the Bible and swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Amen. Pastor Joe Williams. Hallelujah. Amen. He knows that, right? He's going to tell the whole truth. Amen. And but here's the miracle. Before I would put man in the Bible, yes, of course, Your Honor, lying through my teeth. Amen. But now, today, for the past 31 years, I can put my hand in the Bible and say, yes, I swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Amen. How did that happen? Praise the Lord. Luke 23, you have it? Verse 18, the word of God reads like this, and they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man, and release to us Blahos. Your name is going to be there in a moment. Who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Please underline rebellion and murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus, again called out to them, but they shouted, saying, crucify him. Crucify him. Then he said to them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified, and the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. 25, and finally, and they released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. Underline that, rebellion, murder, and prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. Father, how we thank you for your word, God. And this is, it seems at first like a great injustice, a miscarriage, a perversion, God. What's going on here? This exchange, God. The worst for the finest, the unclean for the holy. Father, show us by your Holy Spirit tonight, Lord God, the wonderful exchange. You made it all possible for me to be here tonight. Be glorified, be magnified in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen. Amen, and you may be seated. Praise the Lord. The wonderful exchange. This morning I was able to share a little bit about this, and I want to go a little bit more into detail because all of you know the drama, the testimony, and I'll go into the testimony a little bit. I'll segue, but I want to just build some more foundation here tonight. Amen. I said Blahos, and of course, I could relate really, really good with homie Barabbas. Now, it's more than a coincidence that Barabbas means son of the father. That's what it means. Abba, son of the father. But it's more than a coincidence that the real son of the father was being executed. There was a great exchange going on. Amen. Something, at first, as I mentioned, it looked like a dark perversion. You know, why did they want this man to be killed? And then they release Barabbas, who was thrown in prison for what? Rebellion, for murder. I mean, he was a murderer. He was a leader. And two of his crimes, they're already busted. Amen? Barabbas, go free. Now, those of us have been in jail, in prison. How many have been in jail before, back in the day? Hallelujah. Come on, don't look at your wife. Raise your hand. Amen. Hallelujah. You didn't look at her before. Amen. But I do that for a purpose, for a reason, in case there's visitors and they're looking at what kind of church is this. I just want to share some unique things about the ministry and the anointing that's on this ministry. It's not, somebody said, it's not so much what God is doing, it's who God is using in the ministry of Victory Outreach. Amen? The most unlikely, the most unqualified people on this earth. Amen? The most unreachable, the impossible cases, God said, you qualify. You know, I'll take that. I'll use you. Amen? Barabbas, go free. I'm sure when that happened, real grand, I'm sure when that happened, Barabbas, and those of you been in jail, in custody, in maximum security, right? You didn't just say, there's a centurion, opens the door and says, go, Barabbas. Andale, get out of here. He didn't just, hey, it's all good, amen. You know, he didn't do that. What did he do? You know what he did. He looked at his wrist. He got the wrong dude right here. You made some kind of mistake. But there, the centurion or the guard is saying, go. No, there's no mistake. Pilate has requested, and in fact, go right now. You're free. You're released. Stay with me. Let's keep it real. If that was me, I would just look both ways. What? It's not right here. This is not supposed to be happening. I'm ready to die. I'm supposed to be executed. Me and my two other crimies. All right? He was the leader of rebellion. Then I would go gingerly, walk out, and then I'm gone. I'm out of here. But let me tell you why I chose Barabbas. Let me tell you why I relate to him in many, many areas. Here's one right here. You know, and I know that day was a famous day in history, that there was thousands, hundreds mobbing this man, cursing him, spitting on him, ripping his beard out, knocking him down, mocking him. Now that didn't, I'm sure Barabbas was probably looking from a distance, incognito, but he couldn't miss the crowd and all the anger and all the hate. And I'm sure he was thinking, he had to be thinking, who is that dude right there? Must be a bad dude. I don't know what he's done, but they hate him big time. Maybe he tried to assassinate one of the high priests. I don't know. Maybe he made a move on Caesar. I don't know. But he's a bad dude. They hate his guts. I don't know what he did. But listen to me. Real grand. One thing Barabbas did know beyond a shadow of a doubt. Courtroom term. Beyond a shadow of a doubt is this. That cross that man was carrying was mine. Barabbas knew that very clearly, better than anybody. Whoever he is, I haven't even heard about him. Whoever he is, that cross he has is mine. There was a hill up there, three crosses. Barabbas, that was his cross, and his two crimies. He knew better than anybody else that day, few centuries back, 1,000 years ago, a couple thousand, that man right there has my cross. That man is taking my place. I don't know what happened. I don't understand it. Hey, bad news for that dude, good news for me. Amen. Come on, let's keep it real. That's exactly the attitude. And of course, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is just going straight towards the cross, straight towards Calvary. And this, it seems like at first a great injustice, in fact, a perversion of justice, injustice. But still he goes. You know what I think? It doesn't say it in the Bible. But I believe Barabbas right now is in heaven. Right? I'll tell you why I say that. Because Barabbas, again, must have been, hadn't been impacted by this scenario, this situation here. 3 days later, again, ladies and gentlemen, what is the buzz? You know it. Hey, Barabbas, come here. Let's see. Check this out. You know that dude? Took your place, the one that because of you were set free, that Pilate cut loose. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's alive. He's alive. No, wait. Time out. I saw him crucified. I saw them put nails in him. I saw that spear rammed through his heart. No. I don't know. Hey, don't trip on me, Barabbas. That's what everybody's talking about. That very same person that took your place on the cross, took your cross, you should have died. He's alive. He's alive. Don't tell me that didn't impact him every single day of his life. He didn't just take my place, but he's alive. Incredible, strange stuff is going on here in Jerusalem. Amen. This is weird. And I believe that had to drive him to his knees one day in repentance, you know, and realizing that, you know what? That man was the Christ, the Son of the living God. When I get to heaven, Pastor, I'm going to first of all call Jesus, amen, number one, hallelujah, amen. And then I could say, hey, what's up with Barabbas? Where is he? I want to talk with him. I want to see what Barabbas is up to. Amen? Praise the Lord. Before I share some highlights of my testimony, I just want to share a story that happened many, many years ago. Now it's been like, 25 years ago in La Puente, California. That's the mother church used to be there. How many remember that? La Puente used to be the headquarters, La Puente, California. Well, I was there, hallelujah, and I'm in like here in the sanctuary. I'm praying, and then a brother calls me and says, Pastor Sonny wants to talk with you. Really? Okay. So you begin to think. When Sonny calls you, what did I do? What didn't I do, you know? What should I have done? You start thinking, you know. I go into the office. There's two tall gentlemen, and they identify themselves from the FBI. I'm Agent So-and-so. I look, all right. And I'm Agent So-and-so. Okay, you know. And then there's Pastor Sonny right there, Saul. And then I look at that brother, and I go, all right, we'll talk later, bro. You know? How we changed, amen. Set me up, dude. I talked to him later, too. And I told him, and then this is what they say. They have like this, a manila folder. They're saying this. Listen very carefully. They say, Mr. Argonzoni, look at this. This man right here is a member of the mafia. They're going to infiltrate and just penetrate this ministry, Victory Outreach. And one of them is right there. Look at him. And I'm thinking, what are you talking about, dude? And then he said, open. So they open the folder. You know what's there? My history. My C file. You guys know what that is, right? And there's pictures, crimes, victims. It's all right there. And I'm trying to look. Pastor Sonny looking. Brother. So old, this guy, my God. Yeah. And it's right there. It's undeniable. It's black and white. There it is, you know. My history and all what I've done and the victims. They're right there. So they're all looking at Pastor Sonny. All eyes are on Pastor Sonny. And I'm right there, and I'm looking at him, too, like, what happens next, you know? Is he going to excommunicate me or kick me out of the church? I don't know what's going to happen. So they're looking. Listen to the amazing response of our pastor and founder. I believe that's why God chose him to head this worldwide movement. Listen to his response. Here it comes. This is what he said. I'm waiting, too, like, what's going to happen here, you know? And I don't know if I should run or what, right? And then he says, it's ugly stuff right here. Tell the agent so-and-so. And, wow, my God. It's a bad report about Art Blajos, you know? And I'm looking at Pastor Sonny. Where's he going with this, you know? And he says, that's a bad report. But I got another report about Art Blajos. Yeah, simple. You know what he says? The classic. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. They didn't clap for him. They didn't clap at all. In fact, they were mad. They were like insulted. They closed their little manila folder. They walk out there. They're like, oh, Mr. Argonzoni, we've warned you, you know. And so don't hold us responsible. You've been warned. And they walk off. Listen, that's why I said a while ago, the experts, the professionals, the edumacated, the politicians, the lawyers, amen, the judges, the prison authorities, we need all of them, the doctors, psychiatrists, I talked to all of them, amen. We need them. They have to do their job. Something must be done. Even law enforcement, said it real quick. Law enforcement. We need them. They have to do the job. If you're law enforcement, hey, we need you. I'm just kidding. Don't trip. Amen. Don't run a make on me. I'm good. And, but that's amazing. The amazing response of Pastor Sonny. And that's why I believe God chose him to head this worldwide movement, you know. And he truly believes that. And
they left in a huff. They were all frustrated, and they were gone. But then I began to see Pastor Sonny in a different light from that moment on. I began to see there's something special about this man. So simple, but there's something on him. And that's when I told him, too. He shares it sometimes. And, of course, now I've only saved a few years. But I told him, hey, Pastor, check this out. Got your back. He looks at me. All right. Sit over here, bro. You know. I said, no, I got your back. Whatever happens, you know, I'm down with you, you know. I got your back, you know. And he looked at me, okay, good, good. Amen. First, you know how to make of that, you know. What does that mean? But that's been 31 years now. And I have his back, amen. It's an honor being part, you know, of the great ministry that God has called them to lead and release upon the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. I thank God so much for that. Some of you looked up, huh? Hallelujah. You're falling asleep. Thought it was the police. If I would knock on your door, look at me, please. If I would knock on your door 32 years ago, you would open up. My face could be the last face you would see in this life. What am I there for? I'm an assassin. I'm not inviting you to a Bible study. I'm not inviting you to church. I'm there, you know, on a mission. And when I leave, usually, just keeping it real, there'll be women crying, children screaming, blood, devastation. A messenger of death. But please look at me here, ladies and gentlemen. Look at me. How can I stand here today? A messenger of the grace of God, the mercy of God, the love of God. How can that be? How can I be a messenger of life? Today, if I knock on your door, you still might go, wee, you know? But there'll be no guns. There'll be no weapons. There'll be no shattered bones. But I invite you to the church. Come on, we got a drama. We got a life group. Come on and check it out. Who could do that? Oh, not the politicians, amen. Not the experts, not the professionals. They cannot do that. They're trying their best. They're trying their best, but they cannot do it. I love what I believe. One writer said, C.S. Lewis, he said, you can send a man or a woman to university, to college, get the finest degrees, the best education possible. They get so many degrees, they call them Dr. Thermometer. Amen. But if you just hit the mind with information, you miss the heart. They come out more clever devils. That's all the prisons are. Institution of higher learning. Amen. For criminals. I tell people I got my PhD from Penn State. You get that on the way home. Amen. But that's all it is. Burke, that's all it is you learn more and more about systems of evil, the structures, and how better to steal, kill, and destroy. Just like Satan, whom I worshipped, who was my father, and I acted just like him, stealing, killing, and destroying for many, many, many years. But I thank God. I thank God that one day the man that at one time I despised, I thought was weak. I thought only weak people go there. I thought only weak Christians worshiped him. But I thank God one day that man that went to the cross for me, that man who endured my punishment, endured the wrath of God, that man, someday, years in the future, God would talk to him, talk to a man to tell me that there's hope. That no matter what you've done, you're not beyond the reach of God. And that day finally came years later. But all the time, I sensed growing up, that I wanted to be part of something. I needed identity. I needed a family. I needed, but look at all them terms, brotherhood, family, Godfather. You know, I don't know where that came from. Godfather.
But you see, they're reaching, they're clutching concepts, you know, but there's not real a relationship. It's not really an identity. It's just all up here. And as C.S. Lewis said, clever devils. That's all we were. Maybe you know clever devils. Amen? You call big homies shot callers. You know some? Is there a clever devil next to you? Look at that person next to you. They used to be clever devils. Amen. But not no more. They're not clever devils anymore. And two, who could do that? Who can turn a man under the wrath of God, under the judgment of God, into a man under the grace and mercy of God? Who could do that? What could do that? I'm here to tell you, only one person could do that. No other person. He has a name. Of course, his name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. No other name but his name. Amen. No other power but his power. Amen. He's the only one. And as I said, and you saw in the drama demonstrated how in prison I did like 17 years. And Anna mentioned a warden. I want to tell you a quick story about a warden that finally I was able to go into prison, right? I wanted to go to prison. Well, that's a story in itself. But just me wanting to go to prison is a miracle. Amen. I did 17 years in prison. I escaped from prison. I fought the gas chamber 5 years. But now I'm excited and I want to go to prison. Say amen. That's crazy. And that's, I had my book, too. It got published in Europe. I was there 6 years as an evangelist, home director. And as some of you know about, you know, the book, it's not nothing to do with the movie, nothing to do with Miklo, okay? That's all Hollywood. Do I look like Miklo? To join the mafia, you kill. To lead the mafia, you die. Is that true? In a sense. But remember, the experts and the professionals do not have the final word. This book is endorsed by a friend of the ministry we know very well, Nikki Cruz, and also by our pastor and founder, Sonny Argonzoni. Amen? And so I wrote the book. I didn't want to write the book. And but they told me, and since then, it's been a blessing all over the world. Amen? But I did it because it tells the true story. And here it is. I finally got permission to go to prison. I take my books, and they call me. They call me Reverend Blajos, and it took me a while to, oh, they're talking about me. Yes, hello? How can I help you? Trying to sound all professional. And they said, the prison is open. Come, bring your book. Okay, praise the Lord. So here I go. I'm going. As I'm walking in, there's a lieutenant, and there's a sergeant, and I have my books, and they miss all that reverend stuff and evangelist. Are you Blajos? And I go, yes, sir. Turn around. Take your little books with you. Kick rocks, you're not coming into the institution. I go, what? I look at the chaplain, and he says, I'm going to call, okay, whatever. So I got my books, kicking rocks, amen. Going back to my car, hallelujah. And then he calls back, Reverend Blajos, come here. I got the warden on the phone. He says, come on in. So, really? I says, what? I wanted them to hear it, the lieutenant and the sergeant. What'd you say? Who? The warden. And they said his name. Says, come on in. All right. Step aside. That's right. God will make a way, amen? So there I go. And then he says, the warden wants to see you. So I go down the aisle, you know, past the lieutenant, sergeant. And then I see A. Calderon. I know that name. There's ringing a bell, but I can't connect it to a face. A. Calderon. Before I could connect it, it opens, and there's a big guy, about 6'3", salt and pepper hair. And then he says in a loud, booming voice, Blajos, lock it up. And for an instant, I was stunned, you know. It took me back. For that moment, I was back under the authority of the CDC. You felt it. And then I realized who this guy, Calderon. We were enemies. I hated him. He hated me. you know, he cracked my head a few times, and I broke a few of his ribs, amen. And all through the years, we hated each other, right? And, hey, Calderon, how you doing? You know, and he goes, hey, come on. And he says, you know why you're here? He called me Conejo. Conejo, you know why you're here? Before I could say, yeah, God brought me here, he gave me a big hug, and I go, hey, it's all right, homie, amen. You know? He says, you're here because I brought you here. I said you could come here. I said, really? It was you, huh? Yes. Listen very carefully. What he said next really touched me, and it really, I remember to this day, was really like just humbled you. He says, Conejo, you're here because I've been watching you. I said, what? Yeah, what do you mean you've been watching me? Yeah, you've been under surveillance, like for about 8 years. You were at this location, weren't you? I go, yeah. Weren't you at this car wash? I go, yeah. Weren't you here? And I'm thinking, wow, I was under surveillance. These guys are watching me, you know? And I'm thinking in my mind, you're dirty, dude, you know? But look, listen, here's a point I want to make. And listen carefully. He says, look, this is an enemy. Before he knows who I was, he even told me, hey, Conejo, you're a sick puppy, you know? I said, you were sick too, Calderon. You know? He says, you're here. I said, you could come in. Because they all said no for years. But finally I said, yes, because you are a real. Think about that. An enemy, this looking, scrutinizing, looking for any fault, any crack, observing, looking. You don't even know they're there. And then finally, they come under the conviction that, you know what? You are a Christian. You are. That's what he was saying. You are a real one. Now, come on, Burke. They've seen a lot of jailhouse salvations and in and out, you know. So, of course. And he's looking, he says, you are a real one, a real one. Listen to me. If I would ask Pastor Dan, or any of the pastors here, the ministers, Pastor Pat, I need 3 real men, 3 real women. Would your name come up? Would your name come up, men, women? Would immediately, oh, yeah, so-and-so, he's the one. He's real. That's what I want. And I believe every pastor wants. And I believe that is the answer and the solution to the problems here in all of the Rio Grande, in all of the cities here. It's real men and real women. That even if you don't even know you're under observation, hello somebody, you don't even know it, but they're watching you. You're under a microscope. And doesn't God say that? That's what God is looking for. That God to be glorified by your good works. That your light would shine before men, even when they don't even know you're looking. How about you, men and women? Are you real ones when nobody is looking? Maybe do this exercise and maybe develop this discipline and just put yourself always under surveillance. That's a good habit because you are, hallelujah, by the Holy Ghost. You are anyway, hallelujah, under surveillance 24/7. What? That's another story. Amen. And I thank God for that. Why am I here tonight? Number one, by the grace of God. You saw the great exchange. I didn't do anything. I didn't deserve it. Somebody paid the price for me, and I'm here today, and I'm grateful for that. But for a long time, I thought that to be a big homie, to be a shock caller was the epitome of manhood. If you're anybody in East LA, then you want to be a mafioso. So I did everything I can to be that, and I achieved that. Of course, as I mentioned, in prison 17 years, and then I get out. Didn't change me at all, not at all. And then I get out, begin just a rampage, and that's when I got arrested, as you saw, murder for hire, 19 counts in 2 counties. Crazy stuff. So you would think for sure if you're on that jury back in the day that I'm done. 19 counts, beginning with murder for hire in 2 counties. And they said this, there was 2 lawyers. 2 lawyers, ladies and gentlemen, in Los Angeles County. Ladies and gentlemen of the great state of California. I heard it for so many years, I got it memorized. You've heard it too. Maybe it just changed it to New Mexico, right? Defended here, this young man right here, Art Blajos, from his youth. He's a criminal, a leader of gangs. He's an assassin. He's here for murder for hire. Ladies and gentlemen, he said two things I'll never forget. This man here, look at him. He's beyond rehabilitation. Big word. I don't know what it meant. The second word, he got me mad. Also, he's beyond redemption. But the way he said it, you know, all dramatic and antics, I said, what? You redeem you. You be redeemed, whatever. Two things that were wrong. Was I beyond rehabilitation? No. You're looking at a man that's been rehabilitated. A man who directed four homes, hallelujah, rehab homes. Was I beyond redemption? Absolutely not. Amen. I stand before you a man redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. They tried. They have their job. They must do their jobs, but they do not have the final word, ladies and gentlemen. God has the final word. I love saying this too everywhere I go, that evil is a violation of purpose. A scalpel in the hand of a skilled surgeon or a doctor is a weapon, I mean, is an instrument that could save lives. But that same scalpel in the hand of a serial killer could be an instrument of death. The same with a plane being driven. My wife is already gone, and she's driving a plane going back to Los Angeles. But if that plane is hijacked, then it becomes a violation of purpose. Evil is a violation of purpose. I wasn't created for this. I wasn't made for this, but something happened. Amen? My destiny was hijacked, and I became an instrument of evil. But that's a violation. Amen? A gun in the hand of the right person, the military, the police, a hunter. Amen. Legal hunter. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a weapon. It could be a weapon of mass destruction. In the right hands, it could save lives. In the wrong hands, destroy lives. Evil is a violation of purpose. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. Many of us here, many of us have been violated. Some tormented. Some abused. Some addicted. Again, look at me, please. What could turn a woman that was walking the streets in the sex trade into the temple of the living God? What could turn an assassin, an instrument of death, into a messenger of hope and life? What could do that? Better yet, who can do that? That's part of the reason of the ministry of Victory Outrages. Amen? I said it before, I say it one more time. God released, he loosed something on this earth 50 years ago, and it's going out stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen? Don't trip. I know it's getting darker. I know you look on the social media and all the crazy things. It looks like the bad guys are winning, doesn't it? If you go by the reports, you know. And sometimes it's depressing. You put the news on and well, turn it off, man. Right? Is there any good news? Do the good guys win? Yes. It's all over the place. Look at it. There's good news right here. There was good news last night. Amen. And I love this analogy. Listen to me. And all of you will relate immediately. And then I want to just relate something about my testimony. Then I want to finish with Barabbas. But listen to me, look at me, please. Listen very, very carefully. All of you heard about the programs there. Everyone has seen them. Gangland, locked up abroad, locked up again, son of lockup, you know, and all kinds of crazy lockups and ganglands and all that stuff. Right? We know how it goes. It's the same scenario. Everywhere it goes like this. They say it's here. They may show the problem in Albuquerque. They may even show Santa Fe, the prisons, the gangs, the crimes.
ooh, kilos of heroin and drug, and ay, cucuy, you know, the cartels, and oh my God, something must be done about the problems in New Mexico. Say amen. Right? And then they go to the second scene, and it might be like this. It's a commercial, right? The commercial's there. Is somebody doing this? Stay thirsty, my friends. It's a good segue, Pastor. Take a drink. Stay thirsty, my friend, right? And then here is the second picture or second frame. Again, due to the graphic nature of the program, viewer discretion is advised, blah, blah, blah. What is the second segment? It's always this, a politician. It's a law enforcement. Or you know what? We need more laws, enhancements, injunctions, a heavy hand to deal with this element, right? Another commercial. I won't go there. Amen. But this is how it ends, Albuquerque. This is how it ends. Always. Watch. It's important. It's always the silhouette. You never see the person's face? His voice is disguised like this. And he goes, my name is Skunk. It's not my real name. But life as I know it is over. Blah, blah, blah. Right? End of story. And then another one. Due to the graphic nature of the program and content and viewer discretion is advised, blah, blah, blah. What is missing in that sequence? What is missing? I'll tell you what is missing. Your face. And my face. Men in the front row. Last night. What is missing? The World Conference. Where there's 20,000, 22,000 deep. Why don't they show that on gangland and lockup and all that stuff? Hmm? History Channel, Discovery Channel, National Geographic and all those things. Why don't they ever show that stuff? Huh? The power of a transformed life. The evidence of 20,000, 22,000 deep. Every race and culture and nationality from around the world. Bloods and Crips and NF and ME enemies from 18th Street, 12th Street. You name it. All under one roof. And not one fight. Not one fight that should make international news. Right there. All the cameras should be there at our world conference, Pastor. Like, this is a phenomenon. How does this happen? To do this, you need guns and police dogs. And there was none of that. There was just the presence of God right there. The anointing and the ministry of victory outreach. All this. Listen, I love it. Someday it's going to happen. It could have happened last night. CNN's going to come. Discovery's going to come. Nat Geo's going to come. Right here, right? It could happen in your church to get ready. And they're going to come and say, wait, what is all this about? Whoa, be careful. What is all this about? Break my neck. Couldn't get the hitman, but they got him in Burke. Broke his neck. Back to the conference. We're at the World Conference, and there's the cameras there, right? And they're viewing, and it comes on you. And they ask you, young man, what is all this about? What's going on here? What's all this people raising their hands and everything? Some rough-looking guys, tattoos, bald-headed guys. We, you know, what is this, you know? What would you say? What would you say? Listen, the camera's on you. All of a sudden, you're being exposed to 50 million people, a billion people around the world. What is this all this about? What are you going to say? What's going to come out of your mouth? What's going to be your witness? I know what I would say. No problem. I would say, oh, come here. You know what all this is about? Because of one person. Yes, yes. Who is it? Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Who else? And they go, really? I go, come here. I'm not done yet. And Sonny Argenzoni. That's why all these people are here. And the ministry, hey, come here. And they're gone, right? Why don't they put good news? Why don't they put the power and evidence of life changed and transformed by the power? I'll tell you why. Because it doesn't sell. It's the world. It's Hollywood. Sex sells. Violence sells. Perversion sells. But the power. And that's why Nikki Cruz and Pastor Sonny, they encouraged me. Write the book. I don't want to write no book. Right, Pastor Joe? We're not authors. It'd be a good witness. That was a bad word in the first place. So what? Wait a minute. What'd you say? It'll be a good witness. You be a witness. Amen. All right? But the world needs to hear the truth. Amen. That's why. The power of a transformed life. So get ready. It's going to happen. And let me close, too, with why I'm here today and about the mafia. I couldn't really put this out in the drama like I wanted to. But listen, I thank God so much for this ministry. As you saw last night, the man I was supposed to kill. Finally, I love saying this too. One of my favorite sayings, there must be a last time. If any of this is true, the songs, the worship, the testimonies, if any of this is true, there must be a last time. There must be. For what? Gangs, crimes, drugs, violence. There must be a last time. If not, throw it all away. We're deceiving ourselves. No, but there is power. There is resources. There is a name. There is someone. There is a ministry. And here it comes. I finally was up 5 days, right? I was on one. I was sprung. Anybody been there? Is anybody there right now? My wife knows. We've been in places. I'm sharing this portion of the testimony. What do they do? I'm on run. Hey, Holmes, I'm on one right now. What's it? You know what we say? We start clapping. What kind of church is this? You know what I tell them? Hey, bro, welcome home. You're not here by accident. Welcome home. We got a recovery home for you. By that time, it begins to wear off. You know, what? What kind of place is this, you know? This is a real place, my brothers and my sisters. This is a real place where real hurting people come in and be touched by a real, loving, caring God. Amen? Those are the things unique. In fact, I want to give a quick plug in for the uniqueness of the ministry that you're in. Never forget it. You know, never, never. No matter how sophisticated we get, how high-tech we get, amen, never forget that it's not high-tech or low-tech that has us here, but it's the Spirit of the living God. It's the Spirit of the living God. Now watch this. I got to do, this is the famous Vic Yarish test, and then I'll bring it to a close. Hallelujah. What does it mean when the evangelist says that? Nothing. My wife always says, that don't mean nothing. But listen, a quick VO test, but it's unique because I've been to many churches around the world, in many major cities and continents of the world. Listen, here it comes. Not many places they'll do this. Trust me. How many of you back in the day used to use drugs? Oh, my God. Hallelujah. Pastor, amen. Barbara, oh, Lord. Okay. Wow, amen. Look, I'm not kidding. I've been to some churches. I'm sharing this testimony. I was sharing with this morning, with Pastor Raul, that I go to some places and it's not VO, right? So they invite me. I'll go. I'll share. You forget. You get excited. How many of you used to be on drugs? Not one hand. So I check myself. Oh, that's right. That's right. It's not VO. Amen. Amen. And so I try to get out of the hole. Like, okay, how many of you used to... I used to drink back in the day. No hands. So I'm getting desperate now. Okay, how many, when you were small, used to lie to your parents? No hands. Pastor, they're lying in church. You're lying in church. But the uniqueness about Victory Outreach is that, you know what? We ain't got no shame. I needed Jesus. I was blind, but now I see.
I was bound, but now I'm free. We testify in court. Yes, yes, I'm free. We're not ashamed. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. What a God. Please sit down. We're not over yet. It's still test time. And then again, how many of us have been to jail or institutions? Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. There's many places that won't dare do that. They won't, because they're so caught up in all kinds of legalism and stuff and being proper. And then, but here is a grateful people that love God. Yes, if you do it here, you'll do it out there. If you're ashamed to do it in here, you ain't going to do it out there. You won't. You know, if they say, who is you use drugs? What are you ashamed of? You've been delivered. Boast in the Lord. I'm free. Amen. Begins in the house of God. And then you take it out there into the streets. And then I'll close with this. You already know how the man in the cell next to me, God used him to bring the gospel. And then he exposed me to the ministry of Victory Outreach. As I'm leaving, I gave him a pass. You saw the story. I'm leaving, and I thought I had power and authority, but no, God simply flexed his muscles in a dark and a dangerous place. He used Eddie to disexpose me to salvation. Now watch this. I'm leaving, and he tells me, Conejo, when you get out, go right there to that place, Victory Outrageous. That's why I say outrageous. I go, what's that? Is it? It's a YMCA. That a YMCA, man? Are you in a YMCA? In fact, men's home, stand up. Stand up, man. God bless you. God bless you. Fathers, husbands, workers, providers, men of God, ministers, God bless you. God bless you. You may be seated. Where's the women's home? Stand up. God bless you. Women of God, treasures, diamonds, mothers, wives, women of God, God bless you. Amen. Why do I do that? Those are some of the unique things about this ministry. That, of course, God must get the glory and the praise. So there I go. Here I go. I get out. I still wasn't going to go. And he said, it's a YMCA and that, yeah, whatever. Then he says, Joe Lugo was there. I know Joe Lugo from San Quentin Prison. Joe Lugo. Yeah, he said he's the priest there. He was the home director, right? Everything was wrong, but doesn't God have a way of making all the crooked places straight? I say, okay. Wimpy, huh? That's the name. He likes hamburgers. Joe Lugo, Wimpy? He's the priest over there. Go check him out when they're home. All right. We're good friends in San Quentin. I go there 31 years ago. Hallelujah. Knock on the door. Smoking. Joe opens up. Then he puts the glasses. Conejo. He says this. This morning I was praying for you. Mm. At that point, I'm not going to lie, I felt just like, just tired. I was just tired. I just wanted to just weep. It was a beautiful day. Kneel down. I would have, but there's a couple of guys from the homes. You got to play it out. Is that right, is it? He said, Conejo, God brought you here. This morning I was praying for you. I was praying for you, Conejo. He says, I want to pray for you. Can I pray for you? I look at the guys in the home. Hurry up, is it? You got to keep your image, right? He tells me, okay, Conejo, close your eyes. Close your eyes. You see? I didn't close my eyes. I looked right at him. You know? I said, well, I didn't close my eyes. But he said the prayer. He says, Conejo, just repeat this prayer. All right. He said, I'm just repeating him, but I'm believing it. And I go, Lord Jesus, I'm repeating it. And I say this. He said, Conejo, say, forgive me of my sin. I meant it. And I said, forgive me of my sins. That was it. Next thing I know, I'm flat on my knees. I'm crying. I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened. But that moment on, my life was changed completely. And this is what Joe Lugo was saying. Joe Lugo was saying this in a whisper, and I could still hear it forever. I could hear it right now. Conejo, that's the Lord. Conejo, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. Albuquerque. It wasn't doctrine. It wasn't philosophy. It wasn't programs. It wasn't steps. It was Him. It was someone. It was the Son of God. It was Him that came into my heart. If they would have put a Glock to my head and pulled the trigger, hey, I still win. I get what I don't deserve. Mercy and grace and heaven instead of hell and the wrath of God. I deserve the wrath of God. And so do some of us. Stand with me, please. Let me conclude with Barabbas. Two out of three ain't bad. Two out of three ain't bad. Barabbas, a criminal, got touched. There's two other criminals, right? Jesus is still in the middle. He's still about to die. One of the thieves mock him. Yeah, right. If you're all that, how come you're here with us? You're about to whack you. Get off the cross. Show us. The other thief, you know what he said? Remember me. Remember me. Forgive me. Remember me. Come into your kingdom. What did the Lord say? Albuquerque. What did the Lord say? Did he say, oh, all of a sudden, you're about to die? What he said? Today, you'll be with me in a wonderful place. Today. Hey. Two out of three ain't bad. Barabbas and the other criminal, the worst of the worst, killers, thugs, gangsters, criminals. But at the 11th hour, at the last moment, they're saved by the guy in the middle, the Messiah, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus Christ. Two out of three, amen. What a Messiah. What a Savior. What a champion. Bad news for the one who mocked him. The wrath of God came upon him. To this very day, centuries later, he's feeling the wrath and judgment of God. He had a choice. Ladies and gentlemen, he had a choice. The same as the other criminal. But he repented and said, remember me. What is your choice? Salvation is good news. But saved. Saved from what? Saved from the wrath and the judgment of God also. Yes, He's a God of mercy. Yes, He's a God of love. But you have a choice. And love doesn't force. Love doesn't manipulate. Love doesn't coerce. You must choose. That is the nature of love. But that is the power. I said it this morning in Espanol. I want to say it here today before I pray for you. Sin doesn't send anybody to hell. It never has. But you know what has? Unforgiven sin. Unforgiven sin. All you have to do is repent like that thief and say, forgive me. Remember me. I'm sorry. I had it wrong. You were right. I was simple. If you repent. Amen. So let's do that, Albuquerque. I want every head bowed here in reverence to God. Simply bow your heads and look to your own heart. And many of you have felt the presence of God all week. Tonight, you know He's here. You know He's speaking to you. That gentle voice. But you must choose, my brother, my sister. Remember, if God brought you here, going out there is the wrong way to go. This is the direction you should be going. If you say, you know what?
I don't understand everything, but I sense something. That's the presence of God. God is calling you to repent and come and ask Him to forgive you, to save you, yes, also from the judgment and wrath of God. If you confess me before men in this evil generation, this perverse generation, if you confess me, there's an if there, then I'll confess your name before my Father. But if you deny me, I'll deny you. You see your choice there? You see your freedom there, my brother, my sister? There's your choice. There's your freedom. You can ever, ever, ever blame God. It's on you. But choose life. Choose the Savior. Choose freedom. Choose Him. If God has spoken to your heart in any way, in any area, please come forward. I want to pray with you. Come, come.